Right, good morning, everybody. I'm Matthew Hodgson. I'm the project lead for Matrix, and I am not going to talk about money. I'm going to talk about technology and talk about where Matrix is, or am I? Let's face it, the world needs Matrix more than ever today. We see all sorts of fragmentation happening. We see attacks on encryption with chat control and the Online Safety Act. We're basically living in a pretty dark timeline in the grand scheme of things. And as Amandine says, Matrix aspires to be the missing communication layer of the open web. And my God, does the web need a secure, open, defragmented communication layer today? Now, Matrix really feels like it's growing up. Like, 11 years ago when we began this, imagine standing on stage and having the Ministry of Digital of France on stage saying, hey, we're joining Matrix to support it financially. I just wouldn't have believed it. And nowadays, looking around, honestly, I'm in a pretty good mood. I mean, over the last couple of years, I've been a little bit stressed at points, whereas today, I'm actually feeling that we're in a pretty good place. We have all of the pieces needed to outcompete the centralized alternatives, and it is actually happening. So we have an impressively diverse ecosystem. So apologies to the other bits of the ecosystem, but I'm going to go and drill down and look at clients. So I was trying to figure out how can we do a map of clients out there. Now, obviously, there are hundreds of Matrix clients now. Some of them are little proof of concepts. Some of them are enormous organizations and companies and everything in between. So apologies profusely if in the map that I'm about to lay out, I'm missing you or your favorite client. But I've gone and tried to cherry pick kind of representative ones. And I'm going to start with Beeper. So I saw the Beeper team last night and said, guys, you're going to get a massive call out in the keynote. And here you are. Here it is. So Beeper, excellent, excellent app. Interesting stack. So they're built on Go as the underlying libraries using Talir's wonderful Matrix infrastructure. Then they're using native mobile UI on the mobile app. So that's Swift UI and UIKit on iOS, Compose on Android, and then Beeper itself on top. I at least think of Beeper as a third-generation app in that the original ones were a fork of Element, a fork of Element second-generation apps, and it has now been completely rebuilt as a completely separate, unique stack, which is pretty cool. If you like Go and you were wanting to build on the Go ecosystem, you can go wild with Beeper. Now, my original plan was to then go and start screen sharing little demos of all of these, although I'm not sure whether I'm going to really have enough time. But let me risk it and see if I open up QuickTime and if it gives me permission, come on QuickTime, to go and start a movie recording. Oh, yeah, there we go. So here is Beeper, everybody. Let me see if I can actually make that go full screen. So you can see me just talking to myself on Matrix Network, going and sending through photos. You might see, I'm not actually online. I don't know why it says, it's got fake UI on it. So I'm not actually online right now. So it's got excellent offline support. I can even view things offline. You can see I'm not actually using this account very much. And it's a nice, beautiful iOS native stack. So that's Beeper. Where's my actual deck gone? Then, looking at this sort of architecture, it's not a million miles away from Element X. I'm probably biased being CEO of Element, but Element X, again, third-generation app, built not on top of Go, but on top of Rust, everybody's favorite crustacean language. Similar architecture, though, that, again, third-gen, Matrix Rust SDK that is owned by the Matrix Foundation, albeit very funded by Element, which then goes and loops things into mobile native UI. You have Element X on top, and if I were to pop over to my Element X here, I'm sure that many people have seen this thing already. Looks like this. Now, some of the things to call out here is that we've got nice stuff like liquid glass, whether you love it or hate it. You can see at the bottom, we've got our new space view, which is new in Element X. You've got the chats. And again, I'm actually offline, even though it claims that I am online here. I could go and hop into one of these rooms, and you can see we have offline support. We can also see that it hides images by default, so part of the trust and safety stuff on public rooms. Although even though I'm offline, I can still hit the show button and put them in. So, I mean, again, this is because it's using native UI that you get things like iOS 26 and Liquid Glass for free. Then, on top of Rust, you have entirely different apps. So there's Fractal. Who uses Fractal? Oh, not that many people. You're missing out because it's a really pretty app. I've got it running, I hope, in a Ubuntu VM right here. You can see it sitting here in Trim. And I know, just to give an idea of the kind of quality that you have here, if you go into settings, you've got a really nice set of UI for managing your notifications, your safety settings, your encryption stuff. Frankly, the UI is something definitely on a level, if not beyond, something like Element X, etc. Then, and also on top of Rust, you've got a totally different stack. He uses Robrix. Come on, Kevin, where are you? Yeah, there he is at the back. So Robrix is a really interesting project done by Futureway to build on top of native Rust UI rather than GTK4 like Fractal, again, building on top of Rust SDK. And it looks like this sort of thing. So, I mean, this is, again, we've got offline support here because I've turned off my Wi-Fi. You can see here on Twim, we've got things like a tileable UI. So I can go and drag down, or hopefully drag down one of these windows in theory, come on you, that, and have a sort of split view approach and have both, say, the Synchronicity Mozilla room alongside the Twim room there. Again, really polished, glossy app built on an entirely different UI stack, albeit using Rust SDK, funded by Futureway, which is adjacent to Huawei, is one of the world's biggest companies. Then Filament. Who's on Filament? Nobody. That's because it hasn't launched yet. However, I spoke to Tony, who's the CEO at Filament, last night, and said, "Oi, Tony, is it okay if I demo this in my keynote?" And he said, "Yeah, go nuts!" So here is, hopefully, Filament, if it launches. Now, I've had to turn my Wi-Fi on because it doesn't have offline mode, but here it is. So, another Matrix client. This one isn't federated with Matrix yet, although I hope to convince them that they should. And if I go into a testing room here, you can see this has got more of a kind of Slack vibe going on. No bubbles in there. I can see my DM with Tony, perhaps, last night. Where he says, "Feel free to do the extended razzle-dazzle with jazz hands." So, Tony, here are your jazz hands. This guy is built entirely in React Native on top of Rust SDK. So it's really interesting to see all the various different stacks here going and using different UI environments. So if you're a React developer and you love React Native, Filament have done amazing work in terms of going and exposing Rust SDK bindings all the way through to React land, and it looks great. Then, interestingly, a bit of an edge case is Flutter. So there's an outfit doing an app called Axiom, which I don't think it's fully launched yet. I can't demo it, but it's a particularly good stack because it's using Flutter for cross-platform device interoperability, a bit like Fluffy Chat does, but built on Rust SDK. Then you've got Fluffy Chat itself. I'm sure many people use Fluffy Chat. Who uses Fluffy Chat? About third, quarter of the room. So really nice app built by Krille, funded by Famedly, used as the basis of all sorts of Gematik German healthcare deployments built on Flutter using the Matrix Dart SDK and obviously running on Dart. Then you've got Kotlin platform, so all the work that Connect2x are doing with the Trixnity SDK, Trixnity Messenger, and then on top of it, modular messengers like Tami built on Kotlin multi-platform. So this is targeting both mobile and web and desktop, all via the platform abstraction of Kotlin. So if you love Kotlin, you've got an incredibly mature stack there too. Then, if you're a C++ enthusiast, you've got the various Qt options. So you can have Neko running on MTX client on C++ using, I think, QML still. Neko, is it still QML? Or is it a weird mix of Qt and QML? No, Neko. Nobody wants to fess up to it. Perhaps I got it horribly wrong. Who knows? And then NeoChat is a KDE-driven project running, again, on top of Qt, this time using libquotient rather than MTX client. And finally, on the web, you've got Matrix.js SDK, the original and gnarliest and most horrible Matrix SDK there is, with React SDK, running on React. And then finally, last but not least, you have, say, Cine as a really nice desktop client, arguably better for people wanting a Discord replacement than Element Web today, built on that stack. So seriously, look at it. I mean, I don't think there is a single development platform represented here, not represented here, for the kind of modern developer. If you want React Native, you've got a best-in-class solution there. If you want Go, you've got a stack there. I mean, I cannot believe that we're at this level of diversity and maturity at this point in the game. And it's not a monoculture. It's not like everyone saying, oh, this will only work if we use our Rust SDK. Instead, each of these are completely independently written and maintained by different organizations. And at the risk of talking briefly about money, these aren't small outfits. Like Beeper got acquired by Automattic for, what, $125 million? Filament just announced $10 million of funding last week. I mentioned Robrix is backed by Futureway. These are big players doing big, exciting things on top of Matrix. Uptake is accelerating. Here is our 30-day graph showing, our 30-day retained user graph. So this is kind of the smallest number graph that we have, which is people who are on a server that reports phone home stats to us who have been hanging around for at least 30 days. And from September through to September, you can see that we've gone up from about 270,000 R30 users on the network to about 550,000. So I'm going to declare that that is exponential because it's doubled, and this is in no way a linear graph. So the spec, meanwhile, is steadily improving. This one isn't exponential. This really is linear. You can see the number of the total number of Matrix spec changes over the years since we started the spec process in 2019. It's been accelerating a little bit over the last year. Frankly, it's probably not a good thing if it accelerates too much because we don't want the spec to be constantly sprawling around, changing all the time. What's interesting is that all the way through, we've maintained basically a sort of for every two MSCs coming in, one of them goes out. So it either gets merged into the spec, the red block, or it gets closed, the blue block. So I think this looks pretty healthy. You can see that we on the spec core team consistently cranking things through. People keep proposing new things, and we try to merge them in as rapidly as we possibly can. 10 minutes left. Let me talk a bit about Matrix 2.0. Last year, we showed off the first implementations of the MSCs that the spec core team had earmarked for Matrix 2.0. Got into a lot of trouble for saying Matrix 2.0 is here, by which I meant the implementations are there. You can play with them in Element X. But obviously, the MSCs were not ready at that point for merging into the spec. Which is just as well, because over the year, there have been a lot of refinements of these MSCs as we've really tested them in the wild and we've discovered, I don't know, that Matrix RTC has interesting problems here and there and whatnot. And so we've been polishing them away. What we were hoping for was a grand confetti drop at this point where we announce Matrix 2.0 is here for real and is in the spec. We're close. We're not quite at confetti drop level, so I'll lay it out in a second. But the good news here is that where there are still things which we're ironing out, we're not going to rush it and mess it up just so that we can drop confetti on you all. So, first of all, talking of confetti, are we OIDC yet? Do we have next-gen ORF? And the answer is, my friends, yes, we are. Congratulations to the Matrix identity team and Compton and Hugh and everybody who put literally about 4 years of their lives into getting Matrix on the best possible authentication system we can have with password manager support and passkeys, two-factor ORF, multi-factor ORF, QR login, all these amazing things. Got merged in April, released in Matrix 1.15, and then deployed almost immediately on matrix.org. 2 days later, migrating 45 million access tokens and under half an hour. Go see Compton's talk tomorrow at 4:30, all about it. However, the QR code login MSC probably needs a little bit more iteration. Ironically, in the time that we were speccing it, the encryption that we used got obsoleted, moving from Elliptic Curve to RFC 9180 hybrid key encryption. So we need to rework it to use non-obsolete crypto. Then sliding sync, lots of finessing as the Rust SDK implementation has matured, adding in threads, adding in spaces. We are now gathering votes for it to enter final comment period in order to be merged into the spec as of a few weeks ago. It is stuck at the moment on whether we need to do all of the SSS extensions too, but at least it's in the final progress now. Then Matrix RTC. Matrix RTC is a really ambitious project to do decentralized end-to-end encrypted group and video for all of group voice and video for all of Matrix and beyond. Loads of work has gone into those MSCs this year, and Element Core was basically dog-fooding it in beta, and we found all sorts of exciting challenges along the way, like various obscure races that we hadn't quite anticipated due to decentralization, permission problems. Do we really want to allow anybody in rooms to be able to start calls in order to join calls? State bloat. If you let people start calls, are they going to fill up the room with state? Timing out users correctly. It's been a fun year for the VoIP team, where fun is quite painful. We believe that these are now fixed, and a whole new edition of MSC 4143 was published on Tuesday. If you like VoIP, go read it. It's a really good MSC. It's massive. It's a huge labor of love from Florian and the team, and it has some pretty major changes. So first of all, participation is now tracked with an entirely new type of event in Matrix. Yes, after 11 years, we finally have, I see our VoIP developers are celebrating this. After 11 years, we've finally added the missing primitive, which we've called sticky events, which is not state. It's just stuff in a timeline that sticks around for like an hour so that you can reliably see who's in a call without having to mess around with state resolution or state. We've also introduced a concept called slots, which solves the race conditions. So you basically say a Matrix room now can have multiple RTC slots, and whoever is around can hop into that slot to do a call. And because these slots don't really have session IDs, it means that empirically anybody who joins in is part of that session. And it solves a lot of the race conditions by slightly unintuitively removing the concept of session IDs. We should be in a much better setup for FCP now. The spec call team has been tracking this. I haven't heard anybody scream in horror yet, apart from Eric. So hopefully this is all on track. Finally, invisible crypto. Make encryption invisible to users, much like it is in iMessage or WhatsApp or Signal. This is something everybody needs to know about. The key missing ingredient is that all devices have to be cross-signed by their owner, then so many of the weird bits of UI in Matrix will go away. But this is a major change. We announced it, pre-announced it last year. Here we are officially announcing that we are in the end game, and the clock is ticking. 6 months from now, or earlier, depending on uptake, we expect another MSC to mandate that all devices must be verified. So if you build any kind of Matrix client or bot or bridge, the clock starts now. You've got 6 months to make sure that all your devices are verified so we can get rid of all of the stupid, you have an unverified device warnings. So to conclude, Matrix 2.0, Next Gen Auth is there. Woohoo! Sliding Sync is almost there. Matrix RTC has the final MSC, but needs to go through the process. An invisible crypto is actually passed FCP, not merged into the spec yet, but the clock is ticking. And then, based on this, we aim for the next spec release to actually be 2.0. So, other stuff happening, and I've got 5 minutes left. Oh, Project Hydra. So, Hydra is the code name for the multi-headed nightmare monster beast, which is improving state resolution in Matrix. And we've made huge progress on this over the last year, basically been working on it all year, funded by Element. It's ended up being a three-phase plan. First of all, basically figure out the problems that need to be fixed and ship a baseline solution in room version 12, which happened in August. Then phase two, we're announcing now, is basically additional robustness. Now, this has not yet gone through the MSC process. This is also going to be done in public. Phase one was deliberately done under embargo, because frankly, we weren't sure what problems we were going to hit. In practice, the problems we found weren't that catastrophic, and so It's one of these white UK things. If we hadn't done it under embargo, you could be guaranteed that we would have found a total disaster. We did it under embargo, and either way. Phase 2 and 3 we expect to be done entirely in public. Phase 2 is, first of all, synchronizing all room state rather than the partial setup we have today, where you can have gaps in your rooms on the state, which will improve robustness massively. And finally, shifting user IDs to be account keys, which is great from a GDPR perspective too. Then phase 3 is finality. And finality refers to making sure you can't go back in time and screw up a room, basically. Because in the end, a lot of the state resolution problems happen when somebody goes back and says, oh, actually 2 years ago I found this event that made me an op. And then everyone has to figure out how to resolve it. We're going to try to stop that by basically sealing room history once all the servers in a room have read up to a given point and agree that that has happened. And then finally, there will need to be some state res changes to reflect those changes. Don't miss Keegan waxing lyrical about this midday tomorrow. Then, I've got like 4 minutes or 3 minutes or something. Trust and safety. There has been a lot of much needed progress on trust and safety this year. I mean, Matrix has a huge ecosystem of developers working across safety tooling. This isn't just the folks hired full-time by the Matrix Foundation or folks assisting from Element. This is the whole gamut. There are lots of modern moderation tools, including Draupnir from Nuxie and Mjolnir, not to be confused with Mjolnir from Tulare. There's a new volunteer hosting project for moderation tooling called Asgard Chat, which is an epic name for a set of tools named after Mjolnir. Loads of grassroots orgs tackling abuse on the network, like the community moderation effort. There's a new initiative called MuninHall.com. There is a new initiative called the Matrix Safety Guild to basically have a trusted cabal across the network of folks collaborating on trust and safety tooling. A big change was policy servers, giving moderators the ability to filter traffic before it hits users. That's been running since about May as a closed beta, open beta coming, I think, nowish, possibly even today, and then finally that will get open sourced shortly. Then other things, lots of tooling to manage media preview controls. You already saw it in Element X, the whole show to make sure you only view images that you want to see. Also invite filtering to mitigate invite spam. Loads of working groups and safety guild process progress within the foundation itself. Thanks very much to the governing board for figuring out open governance in the matrix.org room directory. I believe the room directory will be reopened in a curated fashion real soon now so that we can actually start using it properly again. And we're also a founding member of Roost. Amandine mentioned them earlier. Really interesting open source initiative to basically gather together open source trust and safety tooling from across the industry. And one of their first projects is this thing called Osprey, which is a distribution of Discord's internal trust and safety stack. So Discord have got like 10 people at least building nothing but developer tools to try to keep Discord from totally melting down. And they're very kindly open sourced it. And so we're looking at how moderators could use the same kind of infrastructure in Matrix if they need to. Loads of stuff still to be done, though. Join gates. So this is a mechanism that says, hey, you can only join this room if you hop through a gate of some kind. I heard that Reek had gone and built one of these recently, using it as, you know, jump through the hoop before you can join my dev room. Reputation models is something that we're going to need. This is relative, not absolute reputation, so that I know you're allowed to join this room if somebody has already vouched for you in your tribe. Discovery, server admin tools, improving what we already have. This trust and safety work on the core side is funded by the foundation, not Element, not anybody else, as well as the fun of handling the deluge of tickets we get to abuse@matrix.org. At the risk of repeating Amandine, please become a foundation member to ensure this work can progress, because it would really suck for everybody, including the governments and the big organizations who depend on Matrix, if a whole project collapses because it gets a reputation for abuse. It doesn't cost much. We just need to keep working on trust and safety. Almost done. Sorry for overrunning a few minutes. I'm sure you'll let me. Encryption improvements. Loads of work happening for sharing historical keys when you join a room. We have encrypted state events at last, thanks to Sky, a prototype in Element Web as of a few weeks ago. We also have end-to-end encrypted search happening in Rust SDK, thanks to Shrey. We expect to resume work on post-quantum in November, so many thanks to those who are funding Element to make post-quantum happen. I think it's basically a done deal at this point, but PQXDH, so just taking on, getting rid of the elliptic curve Diffie-Hellman, or more accurately, adding on to the elliptic curve Diffie-Hellman, the post-quantum stuff using Kyber 512 will be happening. In terms of MLS, lots of stuff happening. I know that BWI and Famedly are progressing on their MSC456 approach, which effectively replaces matrix state res with centralized MLS groups. Also on the Spec Core team, we're looking at more incremental approaches, things like Phoenix's decentralized MLS IETF draft, which is based on matrixes decentralized with an S MLS IETF draft. Also talking to these guys at Germ Network, who are doing encryption for AT Proto with their distributed MLS IETF graph. On Digital Markets Act and Mimi, don't have time to talk about it. Suffice it to say that we built a WhatsApp bridge, asked if anybody would use it, and nobody said yes, mainly due to the limitations that WhatsApp have imposed on the bridge. If anybody does want native WhatsApp to Matrix interop, come talk to me and give me lots of money, please. What's next? The future. We're going to continue to laser focus on being the best decentralized secure comms platform in the world. That means that we are not going to pursue decentralized social. Good luck to Blue Sky and AT Proto, Mastodon, ActivityPub, Nostr, etc. It means that we are not going to pursue freestyle decentralized data replication. So good luck to our friends at AutoMerge or Beehive or the Local First Cult, etc. It means that we are also not going to build other crazy sci-fi matrix showcases. Please build them yourself if you like them, but the foundation is not going to be doing anything on Third Room or other such sci-fi. Instead, we will focus everything on building a safe, global, resilient, secure comms network, which can be used to build decentralized alternatives to liberate us from Mr. Zuckerberg, and for that matter, the centralization of Signal, the total scam that is Telegram, and I can insult the others too. So in practice, this means we finished Hydra. We need to get client-controlled crypto group membership done, whether that's by MLS, DMLS, or client-side matrix state res. We need to really improve our metadata posture. We do have encrypted state events and pseudo IDs on the horizon. We could perhaps leverage MLS too. Lots of TNS work. Make sure that ecosystem-driven features actually land. I promise we will get there in the end with a custom emoji. I'm sorry that everything else keeps pushing it out the way. And finally, I think an interesting thing could be figuring out how other ecosystems can build on Matrix to stop people like AT Proto or Mastodon reinventing Matrix. Final announcement. Peer-to-peer Matrix, however, is not dead. And in fact, as of about an hour and a half ago, I had a call with the Dutch government who confirmed that they are funding it. So, thank you very much to the Netherlands. So this is really exciting, because whilst people might be saying, oh my God, Matthew's doing peer-to-peer again, it's like Third Room, we're going to get distracted and another 3 years will disappear. This is the opposite. I really think that peer-to-peer is the future here. It solves many problems, keeps metadata entirely on the client, so you solve the metadata problem. It provides resilience against blocking, surveillance, and other disasters on servers. Obviously gives you connectivity even if the internet's gone bang, and really interestingly, it mandates that we make Federation really, really good. So part of the ulterior motives of Hydra and improving Federation is to make sure that peer-to-peer works really well. On the flip side, it is an open area of research. Resilient overlay networks are still a really hard problem, and there basically aren't any, apart from Pinecone and Yggdrasil maybe. And you also have potential battery problems. Big, interesting problems to solve over the next few years. Finally, Matrix 3.0. What are we going to do? Focus on trust and safety? Focus on peer-to-peer and metadata protection? Focus on MLS and metadata protection? Really? focus on portable matrix targeting other platforms? Or just keep it on 2.x for the rest of time and only nudge the major version if we really get bored? Honestly, suggestions welcome, including MLS. Thank you, everybody else. Please support the foundation. And thanks. And sorry for overrunning.